Welcome to the GeoMob Podcast, where we discuss geo-innovation in any and all forms, whether for fun or profit. Hi, everyone. Welcome back to another episode of the GeoMob Podcast. This is going to be a fun one because, once again, we are diving into one of my favorite topics, which is geocoding. And once again, we're seeing the richness of this topic and that there are so many people with so many different takes on it. So it's good to get a new perspective here, especially for someone with a lot of experience in this space. So my guest today is Octavio Herrera, and he is the founder of a new company called Address Hub. So I'll let him explain exactly what that is. Welcome to the show, Octavio. Tell us about yourself, and then let's dive into exactly what you're doing.
Hi, Ed. Thanks for having me. Yeah, so I've been working with addresses in last mile delivery for the last 3 years. I actually built, together with a team, the system to process addresses for one of the biggest parcel delivery companies in Europe. And I have to say that I'm not a geo guy, but I actually learned a lot about addresses and geo during that period of time. And then I really understood how important this field is, but more like how overlooked it is. So how this is something that is considered less important than actually it should be. About the company, yeah, so pretty much Address Hub is what I call an address intelligence API. What that means is that it helps parcel delivery companies process their addresses, clean them up, remove things that are not supposed to be there, like emails, phone numbers, and so on, correct typos, then use multiple geocoders to find the most accurate coordinates, and yeah, finally cache this information so they don't have to geocode every single time, especially the commercial ones, which are quite expensive.
Well, I think this is definitely needed. So as someone running a geocoding service, I can tell you the biggest problem we see is just terrible, terrible input data that we can't do anything about. I mean, and, you know, so often we kind of report back to the customers and we say, look, you know, garbage in is going to be garbage out. You know, can you clean this up? And frankly, they're not always easily able to. You know, they themselves are at the end of a chain of data, and they're not able to make the fixes, and it's frustrating for everyone. And it's obviously becoming a huge topic now. As you know, the last 10 years we're seeing more and more delivery services and things like that. So, right. So what prompted you to start a whole new company to do this? What was the what was the impetus there?
Yeah, I mean, I always been kind of like an entrepreneur. So I started a company back in Colombia when I'm from. It didn't work, of course, but I still had like that, that bug of actually building something. Then I tried that again here in Europe myself. And of course, the pandemic came in and everything failed and so on. But I've always been trying to bring solutions to the smallest companies, right? To small people. So these big companies have, you know, budgets, can hire people and solve really interesting problems. But the smaller companies usually don't have this opportunity. And I'm just an entrepreneur at heart, and I just wanted to do it, right? So I wanted to do a lot of things that I was not allowed to do because it was, you know, behind this big logo of a big company. But now I'm more myself.
What we should clarify, you're based in Berlin, and are you focused just on the German market, or you're doing multiple countries, or what's the...
No, I think this is a global solution. So, of course, it's easier to start small, like where you are located. And yes, I live in Berlin, but no, I'm not focused on the German market. I'm focused initially on the European market, which is where I see there's a big opportunity. But this is a product that is a global one. Anyone from anywhere, like in Colombia, in Brazil, in India or somewhere else, can actually use address intelligence to improve their delivery rates, to make things easier for them.
All right. Well, let's get into the meat of the matter then. Maybe let's talk about some of the common mistakes that we see in address data. And it's funny because often when I tell people I don't know well, you know, and I tell them that I work at a geocoding service, they're like, well, you know, isn't it very simple? You just stick the address in and you get the answer. Like, why, you know, what could be so hard about that? And people do not appreciate how often they get things wrong and bad. So I don't know if you have if you want, I can take you through kind of my top five list of errors that we see that people do. But maybe you have some as well, and it varies a little from country to country, I have to say. But and actually, that probably one of the biggest mistakes I see. But this is more on the software development side, is though. People just assume, engineers just assume that addresses work the same way everywhere. You know, they're used to their country and however it works, like, you know, how specific postcodes are, how postcodes are formatted and all these things. And they just assume that, that's so logical everywhere. And it's obviously not. Everything, everyone does everything different. So I don't know, maybe tell some stories of the mistakes people you see or what's your experience there.
Yeah, I mean, the world is an incredibly complex place, right? So people all around the world have like different ways to name places and so on. And even in areas or in countries where things are supposed to be super organized, like here in Germany, where you say, oh, everything's very well thought through and so on, there's a lot of issues many times. And yeah, you actually shared before the show some of the top five things that you consider to be kind of like the...
What we see a lot of, we're dealing more with software developers. So kind of they're the recipients of the data, but even software developers make a lot of mistakes. So a super common mistake people have is they try to abbreviate things, which is completely well-intentioned. But as an example, they'll just be like, oh, instead of putting the country name, I'll just use the ISO code. Okay. Which makes total sense until you realize, ISO codes are not actually unique with other abbreviations. You know, so we get an address and it's like, you know, some town, comma, CA. So does that CA mean California or does it mean Canada? And this is actually happens quite a bit. I mean, recently my colleague had an example for Germany where he put in his address and it was showing it as Delaware. You know, because he put instead of they had translated DE to Delaware, you know, and the issue is there are so many systems and you don't know what assumptions the system has. You know, like usually the data is passing through a long chain and you don't know what assumptions that the next element in the chain has. So what else do we have? So, then the issue that everyone assumes addresses work the same way in different countries, that's a huge one. We also very often have the problem that people have automated the collection of the addresses, so usually through some kind of web scraping or whatever, and so they grab some addresses and they find a site and they're like, oh, let me get all the addresses. Okay, so then they write a little crawler to grab the addresses and they want to geocode them. But of course, the crawler made some mistakes or, you know, the next page wasn't the same as the one that they trained on or whatever. And so they end up sending us all kinds of, we have people trying to send us queries that are like, you know, hundreds of megabytes or whatever, you know, or things like all kinds of nonsense like this that the crawler just wrongly got. What else? Again, an assumption of the system. This is, you know, many people assume when they type in an address that the system will magically know which country they mean. So particularly with postcodes as an issue. So they put in postcode 12345. And I have to say, speaking now as an American, my Americans are very guilty of this, the no comprehension that maybe another country might also have 5-digit postal codes. So that it's like, oh, well, I put in the zip code. Why didn't you know where it was? We're like, well, we did, but there are 20 countries that have that zip code. And then the final issue that comes up quite a lot is people, so people are used to numeric postcodes. Most countries have numeric postcodes and they treat them as numbers rather than strings of digits. And so in most countries that you have numeric postcodes, there are some postcodes that start with a zero. And so then very often software will convert that to an actual number. So Excel is the classic example and the leading zero gets chopped off. So now instead of having a 5-digit postal code, they have a 4-digit postal code and, you know, fun ensues. So,
Yeah. I mean, I've seen all of these cases as well, right? So it's just a lot of different things that people use don't think that actually make an impact, and they do, right? But these are mostly kind of like technical issues, right? Not all of them, but most of them. I'm always finding really interesting all of the different things that come from people who are not technical, right? People who doesn't know about ISO codes and leading zeros and these kind of things. But it's really challenging sometimes, for example, when street names are changed, right? So imagine you're an old person living in this building for, I don't know, 20 years or whatever. And then you're always reading your address the same way, right? And then out of the sudden, for whatever reason, then the name of street changes, or yeah, it doesn't matter. But you keep sending or, writing the same address over and over. Or even worse, this is stored somewhere in some database of whatever service provider you have, and you have not updated this address or whatever. And then suddenly you stop receiving letters, or you stop receiving parcels or whatever. And this is quite common. People believe, oh, but my street name haven't changed ever. Like, no, but these do happen. And this is a problem for example, for parcel delivery companies, where they say, yeah, but this is the address. We have been always delivering here, but now the address has changed, the name has changed or something, right? So I have found cases where if you go to Google Maps, then the street segments shows one name. But if you go to Street View, then of course the street signs, the physical ones, have another name, like let's say an old name of a street, something like this, right? And this is confusing, right? So delivery drivers sometimes say that this makes no sense. Are you kidding me?
Yeah. What are you mean? Well, I know in the U.S. they very often, I mean, first of all, many, many streets, of course, have a name and a number. You know, so people refer to refer to by either or both or whatever. And because it has a number, then very often cities will like to commemorate, you know, the former mayor or whatever. And so they'll give, you know, that person's name to a certain segment of the road. And they do this all the time. And then, then there's an election and there's new political regime and they want to commemorate their people. And it just goes on and on and on. So, you know, one road can have like five different names.
Yeah,
exactly. A bit of a nightmare.
Yeah, it's really complex. So also multilingual street names is another thing. So there are countries, I mean, people think, oh, everybody in this country speaks the same language, which is not true all of the time.
All right.
Spain, for example, have at least four or five different official languages. So there are addresses. For example, I found one case once in Valencia that if you write the street name in Valencian, their language, the local language, then you get a location. But if you write the same name but in Spanish, then you are actually way, way far away, 400 kilometers away, even another city or something. So this really is a problem. There are, for example, in Italy, in the north of Italy, with some street names are both in German and in Italian. So this is an issue.
Right. Yeah. It can be very, very different. It can be even not just like the word street has changed, but like the actual name has changed.
The actual name. So. Yeah, exactly. So the name of a person in German can be just simply translated to Italian as well.
Well, we sometimes get people that want to help us and they'll send us, you know, addresses that are in a mix of languages, which is a nightmare. You know, you get the address and it's both in Arabic and in some sort of transliteration of Arabic. And so you can understand it's well-intended, but of course it's just a nightmare for the computer to try to figure out. So,
Yeah, exactly. And this is something that most people don't understand because we are just consumers, right? Most of us are just using Google on our phones or whatever. And for example, if you use Google Maps a few times a day or, I don't know, 10 times or whatever times a day in a very busy day, then you most of the time, I mean, it works, right? But if it fails one time out of 10, that's nothing. It's fine. You go with your day. But that's 10%. But now, if you're a company or business, like a parcel delivery company, you actually can be doing, 50 tours per day. And each tour is like 100 deliveries that they need to do. And these can be add up to 5,000 to 10,000 deliveries every day. And now 10% of, let's say, 5,000 is 500. So it's 500 times that the delivery fails or takes longer because the address was wrong. So now it is really significant. And this industry has really, really thin margins, and every little second counts.
Right. One or two bad deliveries can destroy the whole day.
Yeah, absolutely.
So.
Yeah.
So, Octavia, what's your secret sauce? How is Address Hub going to fix this, though?
So, geodata is, of course, the secret sauce. But it's also like being smart about using the data, right? So, it's not that you just, let's say, changed your geocoder from Google to OpenCache, which I recommend everybody
should
use.
Which you should, Octavia. Everyone should.
Definitely everybody should, right? But if you want to fix most of the issues, you have to clean things before that happen, right? So there have to be what I call normalization. So you have to clean out things that doesn't work or that are not relevant to an address. You have to fix these street names issues. You have to remove things from the house number, the postal code you need to make sure that there's a leading zero that is missing, then you correct it, and so on and so forth. And that's just the first step to clean the garbage out of the address, then send it to geocoders, but do not only use one geocoder. You have to use multiple ones because different geocoders have different strengths. There are, for example, the case that Google is really good in Germany, but if you use Google in Italy, that's really bad. It works most of the time, but not as much as in Germany, for example.
Right.
Or in the US. In the US, Google is absolutely great. But in Cyprus or in Czech Republic or whatever, it doesn't work. So you have to use multiple geocoders, and then you have to validate the relevance of this result, right? This relevance is, I'm receiving back a set of coordinates, but is what the geocoder telling me about the street name and locality and so on relevant to what I sent? And you need to do this check. And this is something that not every delivery company knows how to do, and this is what I set up to do.
It's true. Yeah, this is a big problem that we grapple with, is that many of our customers, they're proficient engineers, but they're just kind of they're all-purpose engineers, doing everything. So like last week they were building the website, this week they're querying the geocoding API, next week, and so they don't bring the experience to the problem and the expertise.
Yeah, exactly. And it is already really difficult to find good engineers. Even worse to find engineers or people who actually know about geodata and how to use this in that specific case of parcel delivery, for example. It's not that simple.
Okay. So what stage is the business in? You're just starting out now, or it's live? Can people sign up? Can people, you're in the testing phase? Where exactly are you?
Yeah, at the moment that the episode is live, then yes, the API is live. You can simply sign up. You will have a free trial of a week or two. You can test it out and so on. The company, it's set up. It's legal. What I have to say, which is very interesting, is that I am not associated with any of the big names, which many people would say, oh, but how is that important? And it's like, big companies in this industry, they don't want to work with other people if they consider them as their competition, right?
Sure.
So they always say, oh, but who you are affiliated with? I'm not affiliated with anyone. I'm just me. I'm just starting this out myself because I'm an engineer. I wanted to solve this problem and so on. But this should be a technology that should be used by everyone. And especially the small companies are suffering right now, I would say.
All right. Well, I encourage people to give it a try. Play with it. One question, Octavia. Over the years at GeoMob, we've had there's a lot of interest in kind of alternate address solutions, like What3Words and things like that, which are in some ways try to claim to solve the same problem. What's your opinion, based on your experience with those types of services?
The hardware space is a niche. I know What3Words quite well. I worked with them for a while, trying to implement their geocoding solutions and so on. My personal opinion is that for the normal person, this is not really useful. And the reason why I say that is that, it is really simple to remember just three words instead of your lat longs, and that is true. But when you give your address when buying something on Amazon or Zalando, you don't give your lat longs. You give your address. And your address is something that you even see every single day when you are walking around. You see the street signs and so on. I don't walk around and see 3 meter by 3 meter squares on the floor with 3 words in it. So I will never remember them. So they have their use. They have their use cases. Like, for example, in construction sites, where right. you want to send like materials and all of that, this is absolutely perfect. Or for services like police, rescue services, and so on, this is absolutely good. But for the normal commercial use of people sending things to from A to B, I personally think that this is not the best solution. But they have their place for sure.
Okay. Good to know. Let's give the listeners what they came for. Any address horror stories, Octavia, you can share from your years in the industry?
I mean, not horrors. I really don't like horror stories. I get afraid quite easily. But just curiosities, right? So I remember once a coworker of mine, she came and say, "Hey, Octavio, I'm not getting my parcels. Amazon is not delivering my packages. I need my shoes. I don't get them. I don't know what's going on." And it turns out that she just moved to a new neighborhood just in the outskirts of Berlin. And when I checked on Google, it was just a greenfield. There was nothing there, right? Yeah. It was a new building. There was not even roads on Google. I checked on OpenStreetMaps as well, and the same thing. So what I had to do is I have to just edit and add the building, add the road, add the name, and so on, and just told her, like, yeah, I mean, you need to maybe wait a few weeks until these companies pick up the change on OpenStreetMaps, if they do. But at least use the company that we work for deliveries, and you will probably get it solved, because we at that point we were updating our databases quite often, and these kind of changes were in our systems quite easily. So yeah, so people sort of believe that every single address will be found on Google. That is not true.
No, this is the flip side of the consumers still using old addresses. Is very often new addresses take a long time to get into official governmental data. You know, it can take easily 3 to 6 months or whatever.
And I complain every single time when I order something on, I don't know, Wolt, Zalando, any of these platforms or whatever, because my address is not a new address. It is very well geocoded. I can look it up on Google and it just puts the pin on top of the entrance of the building, but they always get to the other side of the street. I do not know why.
I see. Well, you know, there are companies now working on this. Actually, last week I interviewed a company in the UK that's working on exactly this, doorways.ai, to get you exactly to the door. But yeah, man, it's frustrating when you can't get your pizza delivered. So
yeah, I mean, it gets cold, right? I mean, who likes cold pizza?
Yeah. All right, what else you got? Any other...
Yeah. So there's this really interesting case. We literally spent weeks trying to fix this. I'm not kidding here. There's this case in Germany. I'm not sure if it's happening somewhere else. I assume it is. But there are little small towns, right? And they have, all of their towns have the name of the main street called Main Street. Hauptstraße in German.
Hauptstraße, yeah.
So of course, every single town have a Hauptstraße. What happens is that there's something called Eingemeinde, which is like they put together, the literal towns are all together, they put them into a new administrative unit, like a new, I don't know, departments we call them in Colombia, for example, and they put them together. And what happens is that now the same addresses that used to work before, you cannot find them on Google or anything, because now you have 5 or 6 Hauptstraßes in the same town or in the same city, right? And then before it wasn't a problem, because they used to have, I don't know, like a different town name, but now the town name is the same for all of the 5. And we literally couldn't find a way to fix it for weeks until we figured out, like, okay, it makes sense to do
a... Well, this is exactly in the village in Germany, in rural Germany, that my family is from, exactly this issue. And because it recently got merged with 5 other villages because they're, you know, trying to reduce the size of the administration and stuff. And it's a problem. It's a problem. So I mean, most people obviously still just use the village name, but it can be confusing. It can definitely lead to confusion. Yeah. So, okay. Well, exciting stuff. I do encourage everyone to check it out. And Octavia, we should get it on the record here. Last week at GeoMob Berlin, I did get you to agree that at a future GeoMob Berlin, you're going to be a speaker. So we're going to go deeper on this, at least for the Berlin audience.
Yeah, for sure.
While you're here, though, before you started working, before you made the smart move to addressing, my understanding is you worked a bit on automated cars, automated vehicles, and things like that, which is also a topic that we've had quite a lot at GeoMob, with people trying to build the geospatial systems that these automated vehicles are going to need. As someone who was in that industry, you know, I can remember like 10 years ago, you know, there was so much hype around this that we're all going to be on the robot cars and whatever. And at that time, my son was born. And I remember talking to someone, we're like, well, will my son ever learn to drive a car? Or will that just be completely, you know, old fashioned by the time he's of the age where you could do that? And it hasn't really panned out. It hasn't really, I mean, we don't see, I mean, I guess there are a few examples or whatever, but what's your opinion, man? Is it coming? Is it not coming? Is it still far away? What's your take?
I'm a Tesla fan and I have a Tesla, but I have to tell you, this is not going to happen anytime soon. So the main issue, and this is related, of course, to geodata, for example, in a very weak sense, is there are two approaches for making a car to be aware of where it is and how to move around. And the common approach is with these HD maps, which is just a lot of data that is captured by all of these vehicles with all of these sensors and cameras, yeah, and so on. And they put this together and so on. But the main issue with this is that you have to keep those maps updated. And this is really expensive. And cars, if there's just something that is not very well placed or the distances don't match or whatever, then the cars actually don't work quite well. I remember that one of those vehicles I was sitting in there, we were testing an update on the software, and we were on a parking lot in the factory. The parking lot was empty. And we were moving around, and the car was stopping every 2 or 3 meters just because, I don't know, a shade of a tree or something like this moved around. So, yeah. So that is one way to do it about location on autonomous vehicles and so on. The other way is the Tesla way, right? So they enable the car to actually recognize the environment, if there are pedestrians or the traffic participants, and then using that information to make up their minds, right, to know what to do. And this
kind of in real time deciding.
Exactly. It's in real time. So the map is not pre-built, pre-recorded. The map is being, you know, recognized, and all the environment is recognized by the car. These have the problem of you actually need a lot of data to make this work, and a lot of computation is really necessary. But in my opinion, this is the way to go. What we should be asking ourselves, though, is, for example, in terms of autonomous delivery, if this is something that's going to happen. I don't think this is going to happen. I mean, I myself ask sometimes, like, will I have a job whenever, you know, AI and everything takes and do everything good, like coding and all of that, and then try to translate that into the real world? I don't see how an autonomous vehicle can actually take the package from your car to your fifth floor. That's not going to happen. So maybe cars can just go around and then, you know, get to your door. But from there on, you will need to have like a robot, an autonomous robot or something like this. And yeah, we see all of these new robotics advancements nowadays. My personal opinion, this is not going to happen. It is very complex. I have done delivery tours myself. It is really, really complex from the moment where you take the parcel out of a van and then just find where you need to hand it over. This is not going to be automated that soon.
Okay, now we know.
I'm very opinionated. Sorry about that. And anybody in the audience wants to correct me, please reach out to me. But yeah,
no, I tend to agree. I don't know, but you know, there are occasionally we do see breakthroughs. You know, like with the you know, 2 years ago, you would have thought something like ChatGPT was still far, far away, and now all of a sudden it came through. So yeah, let's see. Okay.
I mean, anyway, ChatGPT is a better developer than I am, I have to admit.
Yeah, so, all right, well, we'll keep working on addresses then, and I think I have no doubt there's going to be work to be done on address cleaning and address formatting for the rest of my lifetime. So,
there's enough to do there, that's for sure.
Octavio, thanks so much for coming on the show. How can people get in touch if they want to learn more? And, you know, what? Obviously, we'll have a link to Address Hub in the show notes, but what's the best way for them to reach you if they have questions?
Yeah, probably LinkedIn is the best way. I'm the most active there. I spend 80% of my social media time there. Just reach out to me there. Octavio Herrera is just... I'm probably the only Octavio Herrera that will come up on your feet if you're from Europe, for example.
Very nice, very nice. I look forward to your talk at a future GeoMob Berlin, and good luck.
Thank you, Ed. Really great to be here.
Thanks for joining us today and listening to the GeoMob podcast. Hope you enjoyed the discussion. Get in touch with us if you have any feedback or suggestions for topics we should cover. You can get the show notes over on the website, which is at thegeomob.com. And while you're there, you can sign up for our monthly mailing list where we keep you informed about upcoming events. You can, of course, also follow us on Twitter, where our handle is GeoMob. Thanks for listening, and hope to see you at a GeoMob event soon.